You know, years ago, I used to have to belt down a couple of drinks. I'm not gonna lie, because I had stage fright.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast special emergency episode, Kissed Off.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, as always, by Luce Cannon. Luce, today is kind of an emergency side episode that was so urgent we don't even have time for an adjective today, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, we need to, I think it's becoming more and more clear that we need to do our own kind of side Kiss podcast. There's just so much shit that Kiss does that we have to talk about. It almost is taking over our normal show, and I don't like that, but I'll tell you this. It's clear that if you're going to name it your talk show, you're going to have to pick a song title off of Unmasked. But all the Ace Frehley songs are taken. You got Three Sides of the Coin, Decibel Geek just launched Torpedo Dudes, and of course, Talk to Me.
Yeah.
There is one T song still left, Tomorrow, but that was the Tom Snyder show. So we can't even use one of the four T's on Unmasked. I had an idea. What do you think we call it? Is That You Who Complained to SoundCloud About Us?
Hold on. Let me verify if that's good. Hold on. Let me call somebody. Jeff Mankini. I say go for it. Perfect.
All right, greenlit. So you are listening to the very first episode of Is That You Who Complained to SoundCloud About Us? Well, thanks for finding time. I know it's kind of a big time of your life right now with the 10-year wedding anniversary, right? How'd you skate away from the wife to talk about Kiss and this important time?
Well, as usual, I somehow wedged it in between. When she's at work and when she's not here.
Okay, great. Well, we better get going on this.
The time's ticking. But listen, what are we talking about here today?
There's so much to talk about that we got. Let's just go bit by bit, okay? The first thing we want to talk about is address the elephant in the room, and that's Vinnie Vincent canceled the show that nobody with a functioning front lobal thought was ever going to happen anyway, right?
That's right.
I just wanted to bring that up because on our last episode launched the day I think the official cancellation was announced. So I'm sure the viewers, we have very, very smart listeners. I'm sure they figured out already that we recorded it about a week and a half prior.
Yeah, yeah. And in the most unsurprising news ever, it was canceled. And can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, what's the angle of this whole thing besides the world's dumbest promoter? I mean, like is Vinny's angle the only thing? Is he probably got 50% deposit down, and now he gets to keep it, and that this Derek Christopher has to actually go after him to get it back legally? Because what else would there be?
You know, I haven't heard if the refunds are actually being processed. I know Chris Sinzak is enjoying this for some of the mud that got slung his way. On a quick side note, Eddie Trunk has some comments on this, in which Eddie Trunk basically says, you know, like the things like the Expo, like where Vinny appears, he says it's routine that Expo promoters, they don't even pay the person anything or have any kind of contract. They just allow them to show up and charge what they want. And I just thought that was another kind of big picture vindication for our friend CC. But I don't know. Does Vinny really have an end game? Is it really just to screw people out of money? I mean, I got to believe that's it, right? Like, you get as much upfront cash and then just, I don't know, avoid contact?
You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he can't play. That has to be probably part of it. I mean, the only thing he could play is Cruella de Vil in 103 Dalmatians, which is coming out next year. Because if you want to talk about somebody, you talk about a perfect role for him, just killing dogs and looking like a little bitch.
Well, Lifetime is putting together a Hillary Clinton biopic. I hear he's up for the lead in that.
Amazing.
He can just fly his own wardrobe.
No, he just says he's paid in pantsuits. He wants 365 pantsuits.
Matching.
But can we move past Vinny and just pour a little beer out for Jim Crean's possible, you know, his, I mean, this man.
Buffalo's finest, we're talking about, the Jim Crean.
That's right. JimCrean.net. That's JimCrean is a Nancy, not M. .net. Please visit it if you have not already. I mean, this man, he was going to be the singer. He even, after our last podcast, added yet another menu item to his to his website, which just said Vinnie Vincent, which now goes to a page for an event that will never happen.
You know, I shared an interview another podcast did with him on our Facebook group today.
Somebody interviewed him?
Yeah, and it's like 3 minutes long, and he misspells his last name as Cream with an M. And in the interview, he talks about Carmine Appice and Vinnie Appice in one sentence. So it's like Jim Crean doesn't even realize two people that he claims he works with are related.
Anyway, he's amazing.
And Carmine Appice.
Anyway, just Buffalo wept. That's all I have to say.
Yes, yes. Pour out a little liquor for our boy Jim Crean. We're gonna get him on the show. I mean, I'm never fucking doing that, but.
But I think somebody's gonna do an impersonation. Oh, but listen, man. But you know, I mean, this was an emergency episode. And you know what, Baco?
What
I think it shows that we wouldn't be doing a job if we didn't do this episode.
Just do my job.
That's right. Come on. And we have said repeatedly, we are not a KISS podcast, but there are so many gifts given to this. It's an endless wealth of riches.
It's great. It really is amazing. I know it makes the Matt Porters of the world weep a little bit when the boys are fighting, and he gets a little defensive, but we still love you, Matt. And you know, I'm still a fan of KISS, but even probably more so as an adult seeing all this shit going on. Do you want me to get into what we're talking about and kind of
I think you should. Yeah, we didn't I'm not, you know, hiding in my basement right now, just talking about Jim Crean's career. So let's get down to the real point of this conversation.
Yeah, that way you can hop in the shower and use some of that rock star soap.
Ooh, yes.
Anyway, $9 shipping. So earlier in the week, Gene was interviewed by some. Well, I don't even know. I don't have it in front of me. So I'm not trying to intentionally not credit somebody, but he said what he said many times, which is, we can't rely on Ace Frehley. We can't rely on Peter Criss to play every night. And he made the comment that Ace and Peter were fired three times. And a couple days later, and this was actually posted on the 29th, on Ace Frehley's official Facebook page, Ace finally fired back, and he fired back harder than I've ever seen either him or Peter go at Gene or Paul. Would you like to break down the statement with me?
Could you take it, Baco, please?
Yeah, you know, I thought I'd read through it, and you just kind of like rudely interrupt me as we go and we have side conversations. That's kind of our forte.
Consistency.
All right. Well, anyway, this is coming from, like I said, the Ace Frehley official Facebook page, and it leads off with, this is going to be lengthy, people, so hold on. My reaction to Gene's post today, ... Gene, your memory is really incorrect. I was never fired from KISS. I quit twice. Not three times, of my own free will, because you and Paul are control freaks, untrustworthy, and too difficult to work with. Your slanderous remarks about my bad habits over the years has cost me millions of dollars, and now that I'm over 12 years sober, you're still saying I can't be trusted to play a whole night show. Well, that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 12 years, you sons of bitches.
Yeah,
I've been doing it for the last 12 years with different configurations of the Ace Frehley band, to you and Paul's dismay. All right, so he continues. I'm also the most successful solo artist to come out of the original Kiss lineup and proud of it. Now, why isn't he the most successful of all of them?
Well, yeah, he's the tallest midget.
I'm saying it's not just the original lineup. I mean, who like Bruce Kulick's solo career hasn't done what he has?
Right. He's the most successful of
largely
the Kiss
because
camp.
Of a song that he would have never recorded had his producer not pretty much said, yeah, we should do this. But he carries on. You and Paul have tried to derail my solo career multiple times over the years unsuccessfully. Unsuccessful, huh? I don't know that they how have they tried to derail his career? I'm not really sure there. Maybe just through the slanderous remarks.
No, I think how they derailed his career is they allowed him to release albums.
they derailed his career by listening to Second Sighting and going greenlit.
They derailed his career by getting Eddie Trunk involved.
They derailed his career by inviting Eddie Trunk to his wedding. Ace had no idea who he was. He says, good to see you, Eddie.
No, I mean, essentially they derailed his career by not interfering at all. Just let him go. Let him burn his own house down.
Well, I think we really find out exactly who's behind this entire message in the next paragraph. I've tried to be nice and friendly by inviting you and Paul to perform on my past albums for E1 Music. Give each of you guys one of my prized Gibson Les Paul 59 models. But today's comments have made me realize you're just an asshole and a sex addict who's being sued by multiple women, and you're just trying to sweep it all under the carpet.
You know, can I jump in here for a second?
Yes.
This sounds exactly like what somebody would say to someone that just gave him his solo band.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. How would you like to be those guys right now? Like, oh boy, you know, I don't want to be on Gene's bad side, but I'm also not doing any. We also just kind of gave up our residency gig to do this.
It's just ridiculous. But please continue.
Here is the money shot. The icing on the cake was when you groped my wife and propositioned her in Los Angeles at the Capitol Records building behind my back when I was trying to help you out at one of your vault experiences, which I only found out about several weeks later. She was planning on pursuing a suit against you, but I told her to call it off. Well, now the gloves are off after your terrible comments today, and I'm thinking this may be the end of the road for you guys. Ooh. Without a heart, this is the best part. Without a complete and heartfelt apology and an offer to give me my old job back and removing Tommy from the throne that I created, the shit will hit the fan and there'll be no stopping us. It's on. End of statement.
I think there was a typo with what you said, though, is the part where it says you groped her. Isn't it? You groped me.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, because Ace Frehley's wife wrote this fucking thing.
Girlfriend, something.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Significant other. Let's call her that. She's picked a Twitter fight with me over my review of Origins on Twitter. She's clearly not all there, but I'm telling you right now, somebody is really pissed about missing out on that Kiss farewell tour money, and I don't think it's Ace.
I'm just going to give you my 2 cents, and these are 2 cents that have 6 sides. Okay.
So three sides to each cent.
That's correct. Good math. Minnesota math. Now, here is the deal. I call bullshit conspiracy of the utmost level because Ace and Gene. Now, if this had come out and it had been, let's call it 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Okay.
I might believe it a little bit. I might not even think it's his wife or girlfriend or whatever. But
you think there's something weird with the timing of this? Is that what you're getting at?
Well, there's a timing, but there's also the fact that why I don't believe it to be real, this whole fight, because in the last year and a half or so, Ace has played with Gene on stage. He's been to like 20 vault experiences. He's played in a drug lord's place in Miami for $50,000 playing a shitty version of Cold Gin. He has had him involved in his Spaceman album. Spaceman. You know, there's been a lot of things back and forth. He got Gene's band gifted to him because Gene didn't need it for the next year or two or whatever. I mean, these are with all those things for him to just explode and go off like this. I call bullshit. I think Gene and Ace came up with this together and said, "Here, let's drop this shit a day before our end of the road tour starts." There you go. That's what I have to say.
I'm less conspiratorial, and one thing, I have to believe that the members of Gene's band had some kind of say. I mean, they were also about to be unemployed, and like, well, why not take this offer that we're getting thrown out there? But I think this really does boil down to Ace's wife. She's nuts, and all those things you talk about, I think it was Ace trying to be nice, Ace putting out there, Ace really, really, really wants to be back in Kiss. Ace regrets his decision, but he's also kind of an egomaniac, and he doesn't ever like to say anything that doesn't make Ace look good. You know, Ace likes to talk about how, you know, people tell me I'm a really influential guitar player. So he likes to say things like that, you know, and he likes to talk about having the IQ test on tour while in Kiss just for funsies, you know, you know, because he's so smart. You know, he never really, you know, has been a self-deprecating kind of guy, is my point. But he's done all these things, you know, have Paul sing on one of his songs, write a couple songs with Gene, tour with Gene in Australia, and play nice in the press with the idea that as the end of the road tour got closer and closer, he would get his job back. And I think his wife believed that more than anything. And when now we're 2 days out when this post was made, it was fucking clear as hell. That's not happening. And then Gene made his comments. Well, that's when she decided to fire off. And conveniently, she's actually used some of this verbiage before. So that's how I know it's her. That's why I don't think it's this. I don't think Gene's involved in any, like, we should do this. I don't think this really hurts Kiss any. I don't think
I like my version better. It's more. It's crazier.
It does require more tinfoil wrapped around the head. but yeah, my dots are a little more connected. Wouldn't you at least say?
Fine. Now let's take this shit next level.
Okay.
Now that post was fine and dandy. But now those gloves came off and then skin was peeled off the hands and it was down to the bones at this part.
So, yeah, after all that that we were just talking about, there was a bunch of comments on Facebook regarding that. And Rachel Gordon, the woman I'm accusing of writing that whole post, she replied to a comment with, "Let me tell you, they tried to have Ace killed in the 70s. They tried sending him to a so-called private party in the Bahamas." Oh, my Lord. This is glorious. I mean, the song Kiss Tried to Kill Me had to just see a huge uptick on YouTube streams today.
Hold up. Before we go any further, when the hell were Kiss anywhere near the Bahamas in anything you've ever heard?
That's the point, man.
Oh, I see. It was all a trick. In the 70s, what did this have been?
No idea. It just says 70s. I'm guessing late.
Just speculate it.
Let's think about that. From 74 was the first record to the end of 79, which would have been the Dynasty Tour. What's the timeline in there that Kiss would most likely like to have Ace killed?
Oh, man, I'm going to say right before a solo album drops.
Or right after.
Right after they realize, well, they'd probably heard it. And like, oh, it's pretty, pretty good. But I was just like, I can just see like,
I was
like,
going to think it's after they heard the demos for Rocket Ride.
All I say is like, hey, if we're going to kill this guy off, it needs to be in the Bahamas. Bill a coin. Bill a coin. Get them in a room. Listen. here's the master plan. We trick them a resort.
What do you think is more likely, that this actually happened, or Ace was on coke for a week and a half
and ended up in the Bahamas
and was sitting in alone in his basement with a loaded fucking rifle, like, I'm not going to the Bahamas. He's yelling at Paul Stanley in his full Dynasty outfit, but like he's not really there. It's like shooting holes in his wall.
Oh my God. Yeah, all those things are great. Well, let's continue with what's her name again? Rachel Gordon.
Rachel Gordon. Yeah, I mean that's the end of the statement there.
I thought there was more.
There isn't much more to the statement, but she cut comments about how Ace is very sober now and knows what's happening. He sees things a lot clearer because of his super soberness.
The reason that Ace has been sober for 12 years is every time he goes to Total Wine and completely loads his refrigerator up, he goes and takes a piss, and his fucking wife is drinking all of his Dom Perignon.
And then she goes on Facebook and responds to Gene Simmons.
he's like, I've been trying to get wasted for 12 years, bitch! You keep drinking all my stuff!
What happened to all my gum? I mean, she ends the whole comment with, fuck them! Well, but which it sounds like maybe she did at Capitol Records at the Gene Simmons vault party.
You know, what's the chances though that Ace didn't even know she was doing this for like a day? Like I know he is not the cat man, but I expect that he sleeps like a cat, like 18 out of 24 hours. And she did all this damage between when he was just napping and doing nothing and being lazy Ace, and then he wakes up to this reality today.
I think that's a possibility, but my gut tells me that Ace is a little whipped. She has his support, and he stands by her statement.
Okay.
Even though it's supposedly his statement. That's my gut feeling on it. Is that like, I don't think he, look, this thing wouldn't still be up on his Facebook page if it was something like that.
Yeah, I think you should re-record a song called Driving Away From My Baby.
Speeding away from my baby. And of course, all of this is happening as we're recording right now. Paul Stanley is in an isolated room away from Gene Simmons.
How you doing, people?
Putting on grease paint, prepping for the first show of the End of the Road Tour up in Vancouver, Canada. And I think Julian Gill is he's in attendance, so that's why he couldn't join us today.
Sure.
Not that we asked.
and other Canadians.
We would have, though. We love him.
Yeah, sure.
Other Canadians.
So the other Canadians are up there doing their job, Bucko. Yeah, covering the show.
Doing their job and emailing SoundCloud.
Anyway, all right, man. Well, I got a roll here.
It's a glorious day, man. Rock is not dead.
It's using all caps and drunk on champagne. I fucked that up. Let me do that again.
No, it's fine. We don't need to fucking redo everything because you said one word. It's
okay, okay.
Good.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay.
Jesus, I gotta fucking edit this thing. Let's not fucking have 70 fucking milliseconds to chop up. Let it go, right, man. Let it fucking go.
That's the Easter egg.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.